Like to turn to the fourth chapter of Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Our brother spoke about standard. What I had on my mind, on my heart this afternoon is reputation. We're going to read some verses from this chapter, but I'll preface it. It's interesting to see that sometimes we think we can hide in the shadow and no one knows what we do and how we do things. But yet, we all know the real truth, don't we? That if someone were to sit here with a report, I know a brother here said he had a little notebook. Do you wonder what he writes in his notebook? What if he start writing your name? What do you think he'll write about you? And we all do that, don't we? We have an opinion about certain people. What they do, what they say, whether they are very quiet, very vocal, very active, very, however you view them. There's a reputation out there, isn't there? Even if you don't do anything. I know someone say that to me, just don't say anything, don't do anything, and no one would notice. Well, they notice you don't say anything and don't do anything. That's your reputation if that's what you do, isn't it? So I thought, with the Lord's help, there are names mentioned. You'll find in the innermost epistles, there are names mentioned. And there's a little commendation the apostle would write about that person. Now, there are many lessons we can learn from that. And here, I'm just going to take a small portion to apply to it, because some would take the names at the end of Romans and see the long lists of names. And as the epistle go on, you see the names start to go down in numbers. That's a different reason. But here, just I thought at the end of Colossians is very appropriate just to take example of some of the names of how the apostle would say something about that person. Let's just read that for connections there. Colossians chapter 4. Perhaps we can begin with verse 6. No, we'll begin at verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. All my stay shall Tychicus declare unto you. Who is, I notice as we read through this, he say their name and what he thinks of them. So here's the first one. Who is a beloved brother? But that's not enough. And a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. So we know that what the Apostle Paul thinks of him. Verse 8, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister's son of Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So we're just going to stop there for a moment. There are a few more names. I really didn't have much preparation in a sense of this, so I don't know how long it will take. I trust that someone will wave their hand if I went over time there. So we find some of these names. Now, have we found it interesting so far? Almost everyone. Now, notice I say almost everyone. The apostle has a commendation. Now, I'm giving you hints as we go through them. Not everyone he named here, he commended with something nice. Okay? And see if you can find that before we get there. So we find some of them just going through quickly, Tychicus, how he declared that a beloved brother. Wouldn't it be nice if someone found another notebook, a blank notebook, I shouldn't say blank, a notebook with the name of every one of us sitting here tonight or this afternoon, and you look up, and I know what we do when we see a list of names. It's like an address book. First thing we do is we look up our name first, don't we? Just to make sure that we're listed and it's listed properly, right? I have the privilege to update the address book at home, and I know people do that. And sometimes you misspell the name. You get a phone call very quickly when you misspell their name or have the wrong address or phone number. People like to know about themselves. So can you imagine that perhaps another brother or a sister have that book out or left out? And by the way, if you do, please don't leave it out. And first thing is you see your name, and the name, and beside it, it put in something like this, a beloved brother. I suppose if you're a sister, you would like to see the word sister on it. But you know what it means, a beloved. Precious to see that, but that part by itself is nice, but it goes on to say, he is a faithful minister. Wow, we don't even hear the word faithful being used much today. When was the last time you even used that word about someone who is faithful? I think that's a great commendation, to be known as faithful. Do you faithfully coming out to meeting? That's nice. Do you faithfully be at the prayer meeting? Well, maybe. Oh, that's a big issue, isn't it? Are we faithful in following what the Lord would like us to do? Here, no questions, just a comment. Faithful minister. Faithful servant for our Lord. And fellow servant. The apostle said, he works with me. He's one of us. Isn't it nice to see that? Who's the next person? We see Onesimus. Well, he too got that name, that description. Faithful. And beloved brother. Who's one of you? Well, we see Aristarchus, which is skip down there because it talks about sister, son of Barnabas, and it's receive him. Oh, don't leave him out. I think that's important too. Sometimes we see people that are new. You know, we've been coming to this conference now for almost 40 years. Yeah, before you were born. A long time, isn't it? And, you know, we feel like we know everybody here. But then there are times when you come and you look at someone and you say, I don't know them. Well, do we receive them like someone whom we know well? Or children, we see that. We have children that used to come and say, and they will say, oh, they'll go to places and they'll say, I don't know anybody there. I don't want to go because they don't feel welcome. But then we sometimes say to the children, now, be careful. You're going to find friends. And when you find a friend, don't just stick to the friend. Not because you don't want them as a friend, because you don't want to isolate the rest of the children who are looking for friends. So we need to learn to receive others too, don't we? One of the very important attributes that the Word of God wants us to have is to be given in hospitality. It's nice to remember that. So we won't go through one by one just for time's sake, nor do I say I know all these people well. Then we find this man named Jesus, or Justice. Paul pointed him out, he's different. He's one of the circumcision. Do you know what that means? He's one of the Jews, converted and became saved, and he's no longer a Jew, because the Word of God said there are really only three categories of people as far as the Word concern, as far as the Word of God concerned, there are Jews. If you're not a Jew, then you are Gentile. But then if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a new creature. You become part of the church. So whether a Jew who's converted and believe or a Gentile like us, well, we're part of the church. We're no longer a Jew or a Gentile. We are part of Christ. So he's one of them, and he specifically mentioned them. But here's something that's very interesting at the end he said, of that verse. He said, he has been a comfort unto me. I know some of you, or perhaps I should say some of us, have gone through various trials. It's difficult, isn't it, when you feel that trials and difficulties before you, and often we feel we are alone, don't we? Why would the Lord allow that? Well, and then we find someone who's able to comfort us. Isn't that wonderful to think that? Especially someone who has gone through perhaps similar circumstances, similar trials, overcame it, and now they can come and say certain things so that you are comforted. That's a very important gift, in a sense, to comfort someone. You know, I was going to say, we as men, perhaps I should say, I know I myself often am not sensitive to people's needs. And sometimes we know that women blame men for not seeing things. Well, it's a great gift to see that someone's going through difficulties and be comforted. So his name was marked down in there that he comfort the apostle himself. Now, the next one in verse 12, Apophis. I really enjoy this portion. I think we can speak on that a little bit. In fact, he's the one, or his exercise is what I had on my heart, more so than the rest of the names given here. Let me just read verse 12 again. Apophis, who is one of us, a servant of Christ, salute you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now, I think this one verse is loaded with information for us to digest. He's one of you. Interesting. Is the person you're looking at beside you one of you? Or are they just a stranger? But more so, he's a servant of Christ. That makes us unique. We belong to the one body. Here's another great truth the Word of God, especially the Apostle Paul, brings out to us, that there is one body, every believer who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior is part of that body. We are of one body. Though that one body have different members, but there is one body. And of course we know there is only one God, one Spirit, one Savior. And this morning we had the privilege of showing a public testimony that there is one body. This morning, we were here with the express purpose of remembering the Lord Jesus in his death for us. But how did we do that? We had one loaf. One loaf. Yes, we can say the Lord said, take, eat, this is my body which is given in death for you. But then that one loaf too should remind us that there is one body. So Epaphras was part of that one of us. He's part of that body. But then he says, a servant of Christ salute you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Perhaps Epaphras couldn't be everywhere to help, but he prayed. Did you realize that he prayed? And sometimes we do that too when we remember our brethren. We pray for them. But here, he didn't just pray. And I have to confess something with you. We often say to someone, after we hear certain difficulties, and we'll say, we'll pray for you. And I'll confess, a lot of times when I get home, I forget. I didn't really pray for them. But here, the word is fervently. Oh, he didn't just pray for them. He prayed for them fervently, always laboring. That he treated that as, that's his job, praying earnestly, fervently for them in prayer. Do we pray one for another? Do we pray? Or do we pray when we hear someone is so sick? Someone, especially someone we love, is so sick, then we pray and say, Lord, make sure he or she is better. Now, I want to reread the latter part of the verse, because it tells us how he prayed and what he prayed for. I don't think we hear the word, they'll say, Lord, I pray that they will be healed. I don't see that in here. Let's read that again. What is he praying for? Laboring fervently for you in prayers, comma, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Oh, is it to make us better when we are sick? Perhaps. But he prayed that we may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. So the first lesson we should take from this is when we pray, we should pray according to his will, not just our will. You know, we have children, we raise children, and sometimes people say, well, your children are older, you don't remember what it was like. And you're right. Especially, I know our older children would remind us how we're not being fair, that they used to get punished for a lot more than the younger one, of how they get away with things. Well, now we brought some of our grandchildren with us, and we find that they're not much different. We need to pray for them too, don't we? They're not much different in that we pray. We have to learn to pray, but according to the will of God. Not what we want. We're children, and we're reminded. And some of you may see that we have a little show going on in the back there with the three of them, and they want something. There's a whole bag of raisins there. They would like to have the whole bag. That's the will. Well, do we let them? We could, but we pay for a great price afterwards. So God do similar things to us too, that we as children, we have our own will. When we see that big bag of dum-dum, we may want to eat the whole bag. It tastes good. And we become a real dum-dum after that, right? So as parents, we know, or at least we should know what is good for them. So we know when to say no. We might say after the fourth dum-dum, you should stop. Well, some parent might think after one, you should stop. So here, God knows what is good for us. And what we want should be according to the will of God. So sometimes, I know someone may not like this phrase, I know some love it, they say certain ones that pray, they say, these are prayer warriors. I'm not too sure if I like that phrase. But we should pray so that our brethren, every one of us, may come to the full knowledge, so that our prayer would be that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So, I'm going to go down a little bit here. I'm just looking at time here. Verse 14, Luke. Well, we've got Luke in here, but different Luke has presumed. It says, the beloved physician. Doesn't say much, but he's beloved. I think that's nice. In fact, I'll tell you a little story. And I'll speak that more so to young men. When I was younger, in my teenage years, I remember a few brothers exhorted me to go to care meetings. So when I remember saying to him, he said, he don't need me there. I'm too young to say anything. He said, that's not the point. You should go to care meeting to learn. Because it's going to come a day before you realize it, you are one of the older one and require to take care of the matters in the assembly. And I remember sitting there one time and someone asked for a letter of commendation. And a brother said, well, the only wording we can put in there is that he is in fellowship with us, period. Very short letter. And I go, wow, but we usually say a few nice things about the person. He said, well, we don't have anything nice to say about that particular brother. So we rather not say anything and state the fact that he is in fellowship with us. So now with that in mind, let's read this verse here. Verse 14, Luke, the beloved physicians. Now the part is this, and Demas, comma. And Demas, that's it. Greet you. What do we know about Demas? How would you feel now that you got a hold of that list that somebody left and on your name? There's nothing bad that is said about you. And Demas. That's it. But the rest, you see, beloved, faithful, and so on. That should touch our heart, shouldn't it? Now, you're young enough. There's still time, as if it were. How someone going to write something about you really is dependent on how well you behave, because you're an epistle, in a sense, read and known by all men. So, in many ways, you have our choice. Now, we know the Lord knows our hearts. We don't do things so someone would say nice thing about us. We don't buy nice dresses so someone would say we are nice looking or pretty. Now, don't get me wrong and go home and tell your mom and dad that you don't want to wear any nice dresses anymore. That's not my thought neither. But your demeanor, the way you behave, are known and read. And here's what else is interesting. Now, this is an epistle the apostle wrote to the Colossians. To the Colossians. Now, you would think, oh, well. So, at the worst, only the Colossians know about this. No, that's not quite true. Let's just look at one more verse here, verse 16. And he said, and when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of Laodicea, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. He's saying, we're going to read each other's letter. So you might say, well, only Colossians? No, now the Laodicean's going to know about you. My thought is not here to chide anyone, but to exhort that we are to walk. We are heavenly citizens. We have to be reminded, why are we here? You, if you have been redeemed, you are fit for heaven. Why? I believe the Lord is leaving us here for just a little while to be a testimony for his namesake. This morning we talk about that armor of light. We are to be the exhibition for him. We don't need protection, but protection by walking in a way that is proper, being faithful, righteous, and holy. And that often speaks louder than words can.
Number 36 in the back of the book. 36 in the appendix. We go to meet the Savior, his glorious face to see. What manner of behavior doth with this hope agree? May God's illumination guide heart and walk aright, that so our preparation be pleasing in his sight. 36 in the back of the book.